This is Morning Edition on 91.9 FM WUOT, Knoxville. I'm Chrissy Kuiper. Since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, the concentration of carbon in our atmosphere has been continually rising. Scientists worldwide are studying what effects that raised carbon has on the atmosphere and on humans, and for the last several years, they've also been learning about what rising carbon levels do to forests. It's a worldwide project called FACE, Free Air Carbon Dioxide Enrichment. We're exploring an experimental forest in Oak Ridge, 4 acres filled with rings of sweet gum trees. These trees were planted in 1997, and they now stand about 60 feet tall. A massive generator pumps vaporized carbon into each ring of trees through vented pipes. Colleen Iverson is a PhD candidate at the University of Tennessee and is one of the scientists involved in this project. She points out 2 stands of sweet gum trees that are receiving carbon at levels of 550 parts per million. That's the level of carbon that scientists expect to see in our atmosphere by the year 2050.
What we do is compare the ambient or control rings to what is going on in the elevated carbon dioxide rings. This forest was planted all at the same time, and so theoretically any difference should be due to elevated carbon dioxide.
Iverson explains that as the level of atmospheric carbon increases, so does a tree's net primary productivity. That is,
the total amount of organic matter stored by the trees over the course of a growing season. So trees are taking up more carbon and making more tree matter.
And that makes sense because trees breathe in carbon dioxide. But Iverson says that some results have been surprising.
What we found is in the first year, the trees made more wood. But in all the years after that, the trees have been increasingly putting that extra carbon that they fix to roots, to fine roots. These very small roots live and die within the course of a year.
In part, these roots are responsible for bringing nitrogen from the soil into the tree as a nutrient. But with so many more roots, the supply of nitrogen isn't keeping up with the demand, and there's an imbalance in the soil. These researchers aren't sure how long that imbalance can be sustained or what the long-term effects of the imbalance might be. Amy Klassen is an ORNL staff scientist and ecosystem ecologist. She says part of the problem may have to do with water.
If soil is dry, these microorganisms that are responsible for nitrogen cycling, they're not active because they're being limited by water. So if it does get a lot drier, then those nutrients aren't able to be mobilized in the soil and the plants aren't able to take them up. There's a strong connection between water and nitrogen cycling, and it varies by systems, but that's something that we're interested in asking here.
The long-term reaction of forests to rising levels of carbon can, understandably, only be measured under the conditions of a long-term experiment. Jennifer Franklin teaches in the Department of Forestry, Wildlife, and Fisheries at the University of Tennessee. She researches tree physiology and the interaction between trees and their environments.
There's a very short-term response, and you can measure that really easily. But then you have to go to a larger scale, too, both in terms of time and the tree. When you change the conditions, a tree can adapt somewhat. It changes its structure and it changes its function so that the long-term response is not necessarily the same as the short-term response.
So what do increased carbon levels mean to trees in the long term? The answer probably won't be determined here. In the next year or two, most of these trees will be cut down so that scientists can study the effect on the wood and nutrients in the tree. They'll also look at the root systems and the soil. And even then, ORNL investigator Richard Norby says there will still be a lot of unanswered questions.
That's the way you want science to work. You know, you answer your questions at one level, and then in so doing, it raises new questions, and then you pursue them.
And Norby says that's just the way that things should be. For WUOT, I'm Chrissy Kuiper.